Amen. And I want to send them out to the rest of the extended body. And we're good to go over there. You're the man. Well, I love you and I appreciate you. We serve an awesome God. Amen. And he's doing some things in the midst of our lives. And I am ever so grateful for his grace and his mercy. Amen. And I appreciate you. I love you very much. I love everybody. And we welcome everybody that's listening now on the various media platforms. We appreciate the body of Christ, and we appreciate what the Father's doing in everybody's life. Man, what a great testimony tonight of God's faithfulness and his goodness and his mercy. I wanted to share this with you real quick, a couple of little announcements. First of all, February 12th, we will be sending our first shortwave broadcast to China and to Japan and to the Far East. And so we're excited about that. It's already been sealed and sent off to Palau, South Pacific, where it will go off of Angel 3 shortwave satellite, and we'll be reaching that part of the world. And as it grows and God blesses us, I want to get on all of the Angel networks. I'm looking to get on all 5 of the Angel networks and just cover the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're going to take it day by day. So we're really excited about that. And we've already have a total of 3 sponsors. So we need, what is it, another 9, is that? Yeah, another 9 sponsors. And so people have already responded. And so I'm just grateful for that. And listen, if God orders it, God pays for it. If he orders something in your life, he'll pay for it. You don't have to struggle. God, if he said, hey, go do this, he'll take care of it to the last penny. And you don't have to worry about it at all. So we're real excited about that. Also, you can go to our website and you can hear the broadcast if you get up on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m., which I'm already up getting ready. But you can listen to the broadcast as it's going live to that portion of the world. So go to our website. We have the player there, and it links to LaCie Broadcasting and to World Harvest Radio. So if you're up that early, even if you're not going to listen to it, just lay your hands on the computer or whatever and just start blessing and say, Father, save that region of the world. Save them, Father, that are caught up in the Shinto religion and all kinds of craziness just lost without God. And what a great opportunity. From here in Livonia, we're sending this message to the nations of the world. And so I wanted you to be mindful of that coming up February 12th, and it'll be every single Sunday thereafter. Amen. Also, the Now Network, we're going to be broadcasting this coming Sunday. We'll be taping, and then the following Sunday will be our first release to the Now Network of the Ignited Life Now broadcast that will be reaching millions of homes in this region. And so I appreciate you praying for us and believe in God. And by the way, we're not going to film you. So don't worry about it. We might just get a mic cam. Every time is, a good point, we just, amen, and throw it on mic or something. I don't know. We'll do something. But it's going to be great, and we're real excited about it. We had a great response for our first live streaming. That was phenomenal. We had over 100 and, I don't know, 50-something views, 194? Amen, 194 views on that alone, and we really didn't do any much advertising. It's just threw it up on the website and Facebook. So that's going to gain steam as we go, so people can live stream. I received a message from somebody today in Arizona was thanking me for live streaming. So there's a lot of people beyond these 4 walls that are listening to what's going on here. So I really appreciate you praying about that. So live streaming was awesome. We have the Now Network coming up. Need your prayers for that. And this is a real small announcement, but we close on the building February 21st. Woohoo! February 21st! That ain't small. 3 o'clock, February 21st. Would you pray for us? We go and sign the papers, and the building will be ours, minus paying it off. And we'll do that in no time with the Lord's help. Amen. So we'll have this in our possession, and we'll bless Mr. Hart next door, and he can go do what he needs to do. And then we're going to chase him out of that building over there, because he ain't got nowhere to go after that. He got to go home. And then we're gonna take that bit of the property too, because God's gonna make it happen. He's gonna provide for us. He always does. We don't have to beg. When God's in it, you don't have to beg. Amen. So those are some of the announcements. Please, please, please continue to pray. Don't take anything for advantage, or just, you know, pray for Ignited. Pray for Pastor Jennifer and I to make the right decisions. Pray for the leadership. Pray, pray, pray always that we can continue to do what God's called us to do, because we want to reach the nations of the world. I'll have to hold off for my teaching. Okay? I got something I want to say about that. But I'm going to tell you something. There are so many people out there that are more worried about their church, they're more worried about people, they're more worried about a steeple than they are worried about the souls that are dying and going to hell every single moment of our day. So we're going to change that. We're going to make it hard to go to hell from Livonia, Georgia. We're going to make it hard to go to hell from Livonia, Georgia, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I love you and I bless you. Father, again, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Teach us what we don't know. And there's a lot we don't know. And Holy Ghost, you're the only one that can lead us into all truth, because you lead us to Jesus. We thank you for it. In your mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. All right, I'm glad you're here and I love you so much. Good things are happening because we have a great Father. World missions and evangelism. I hope you've been enjoying this. I've been getting a lot of reports of people just enjoying this teaching. And I'm just going to be obedient to the Father as to what he wants me to teach on a weekly basis according to his plans. But last time we got together, some of the highlights was the first missionary of the Bible was the Father. The first missionary of the Bible was not the Church of God, not the Church of God in Christ. Come on, somebody. Not the Baptist, not the Southern Baptist, not the Pentecostals. The first missionary of the Bible was the Father. And if you don't know that, you need to read the Bible and see how God rescued and went after Adam and Eve. Remember, I love the law of first mentions, because the law of first mentions takes me to the reality of who the Father is. And when I look at the law of first mention, I don't have a bunch of theological junk. I can see the word for myself. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we saw that the voice of God, remember the difference between the voice in this particular verse, and then when he talked to him in verse 9, is that right? And so we find that God came to him with a voice of invitation. The gospel of Jesus Christ should always be not of condemnation, but invitation. We're trying to invite you to a new life. We're trying to invite you to living the victorious life. And so you go back and listen to the archive and or get the CD and see how that in the Old Testament it began with God going after man, seeking man. And then in the New Testament we find man seeking after God. See, God laid out the template for us by first loving us. Isn't that great? Verse 17, it talked about, or verse 12, I think that is, yeah, the excuse. Remember the excuse that Adam had? Man still has it today. We blame the woman, or we blame somebody else. We blame the dog ate our homework. When the reality is, we're just lazy, and it's our fault. I'm going to tell you, that you life can change for you and I when we learn how to take responsibility. That's a whole nother message. And then finally on that, God said to Adam, where are you? He didn't ask Adam where he was geographically, because he knew exactly where he was. He was hiding in the shame of his sin. And that's the same question we have to ask people today. Where are you? Where are you spiritually? Where are you in your relationship with God and with eternity? But for too many of us, we want to say, who are you? Who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing in my space? Hey, get off my cloud and get on your own cloud. And we have that attitude, and that is the greatest hindrance from us reaching people, is our attitude of who are you? Who do you think you are? You know that's the truth, because a lot of sinners come in the church and that's the first sign they get by the eyeballs of the church lady. Come on, somebody. The church man, whoever, who's the guardian of the house, and they'll just look them up and down. And they don't feel no more welcome than anybody else in the room. We got to change that in the church. We got to let people come in and be who they are, dress the way they are, the things that they're involved in, not to keep them that way, but to show them that they are loved and we're concerned about where they are and then we'll deal with who they are later on. And we'll get them born again. Amen. I think that's the way church should be, and that's the way Ignited is. Okay, world missions and evangelism for tonight. Let me begin this statement with you. I love this part because, or I love this statement. Write the word name, the word God, his written name down. Write God's name down, G-O-D. Write it down. Look at it one time when you write it down. Two-thirds of the name of God is go. Two-thirds of the name of God is go. He's a go God. He's always on the move. He's always looking to rescue. He's always looking to deliver. He's always looking to bless. He's always on the move. So God, two-thirds of his name is go. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and however long I teach this, we're going to go into so many different avenues of world missions and evangelism. I'm just excited about this and this opportunity to teach this. So we're going to go all over the New Testament. We go back to the Old Testament. We're just going to go from kiver to kiver. That's what an old preacher called, cover to cover, kiver to kiver. Some of y'all don't even know that the book of Malachi used to be the book of Malachi or Job. Go to the book of Job. Some of y'all don't remember the old preachers. They couldn't speak well, but they could sure preach the paint off the wall and get people saved. Today we have eloquent idiots who stand behind the pulpit, don't know the word of God, but they can make people go, ooh, ah. Anyways, Matthew chapter 28, check this out. The Great Commission, and I like to say the Great Commandment. I believe the commission is not a suggestion, but I believe it is a commandment. And after I get done teaching, you'll agree with me. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You need to be where Jesus told you to be if you're going to get the message. You can't just fly around churches and go everywhere you want to go. You need to be where you're supposed to be. You need to go where you're commanded to go so there God can bless you. We have enough charismatic Christians that run around from churches to churches, can never find stability in their own personal walk with God. Therefore, they have no stability in ministry. You got to be where God tells you to be. Can I get a witness? Anybody? And when they saw him, verse 17, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. How much power? All power. Last time I looked, all means all. He said, I got all power. Let me give you the word for that. Let's spell it out first. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And that is 1849. Exousia. Exousia. 1849. Check this out. He said, I have all power. What does that mean? Here's a definition. It means permission, right, authority, and I'll read them again, liberty, power to do anything. Authority, liberty, permission, right, power to do anything. So Jesus begins the Great Commission and he brings his disciples to a commanded place, to an appointed place, because there's something about going where he tells you to go. Because where he tells you to go, there's a message for you. Many people miss the message of their life because they're never where God told them to be. They go where they think they should be. They go to churches where grandma told them, help me, told them to go, where tradition of men tells you to go, where you can easily do what you want to do instead of being planted according to the word of God in your heart. But he says all power, all authority, all permission, all liberty, all authority has been given to me. Now check this second part out of this definition because this is very powerful. It denies the right of hindrance. It denies the right of hindrance. In other words, he says, I have all power, all liberty, all authority, all permission. There is not a thing that can hinder what I want to do. When I teach on destiny to those whom I disciple, those who are spiritual sons in the faith, spiritual daughters of the faith, I teach them about destiny. I tell them this, that if you had all power, if you had all wealth, if you knew heaven was for you and there was nothing against you, what would you do for God? You remember me teaching that before? Well, automatically, you're not going to tell me something that you don't have a passion for. You're going to tell me exactly what you have a passion for. You're going to tell me, man, this is what I would do for God. And Jesus lays it out here in the Great Commission and begins by telling us, I've got all power. Now watch this. He didn't say that as the Son of God. He said that as a son of man. Because of the Son of God, he already had those things. Is anybody here today? As a son of man, he laid them down. At resurrection, he received the power again. Are you getting this with me? And so in the Great Commission, he's saying, I've got all power, and this power I'm about to relay to you because I'm not going to go tell you to do something you can't do. God would never do that. Religion does that to you. But God would never put you in a position that you don't have what you need to accomplish the job. Oh, man, I feel like this is Sunday. I'm ready to preach, Clay. Clay wasn't here Sunday. I got to preach to Clay. Huh? All power, nothing to hinder you. Now, the word combined, if you take the two root words, if you combine it, it means this, might and right. Jesus said this, I have might and I've got the right. You need to start getting this in your spirit. You're letting too many people run you over. You're not doing enough for the kingdom of God because you and I are allowing hindrances to come in our life. We say we don't have enough money. We say we can't do this. We say this, we say that, and we hinder ourselves and we lack the faith and the boldness and tenacity to grab hold of what Jesus said you already have inside of you, and we fail. He said, I gave you the might and the right. You ought to point at your neighbor, and you've been wanting to point at him all night long. Put your bony finger out and say, you got the might and the right, honey. You got the might. Some of y'all won't even do it. You got the might and I don't know what you're scared about. You got the might and the right. That's a prophetic movement of faith. You ought to try doing so when a preacher tells you to do it. Do it. Go in that mirror when you get home and point out, I got the might and the right. And that's better doing that than waking up and, I don't know if I'm going to make it today or not. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. Until you get Folgers in your veins or whatever you like to drink. 8 o'clock coffee. I don't know what you people drink. Drink water. Man, I feel good. That was the best water I had all morning. He's drinking creek water. Ain't nothing wrong with creek water. Creek water around here looks like tea and coffee, don't it? What's the name of that creek? Hot Cocoa. People always told me, oh, man, I tell you, the best waters up here in the Carolinas, the best beaches. I'm like, que pasa, man? You ought to come down to Miami. You ought to come down to the Caribbean. That's where the real water's at. Now, y'all going to get me off my mess and distract me. But it's better than waking up saying, oh, I don't feel good now. All that we do. It's better to get up and say, I got the might and the right to be in the kingdom today. I got the might and the right to be the head and not the tail. I got the right and the might to not be sick today. I got the might and the right to preach this gospel to the nations of the world. Amen. Come on, I may not be the prettiest pumpkin in the patch, but I'm in the patch. I may not have this or that. I may not have the, you know, whatever, whatever. But guess what? I've got the might and the right. Some of y'all are going to get this later on. Just don't wait too long. Do you see that? So let's go back to it. I'm giving you what the word is. I'm giving you what the Greek word is so you can understand. Watch. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth.
That's pretty good, ain't it? Heaven and earth. I don't think there's anything. I guess that includes Pluto, Saturn. I think that covers all the bases, don't it? He said, I've got all the power, all the right, and the might. Why did he say that? Because of what he was about to say. He wasn't getting up and being braggadocious in verse 18 saying, hey, guys, I just want you to know I'm all that in a bag of chips. I just brought you here so you'd know that tonight. Does everybody know that I'm here to tell you? I'm just tooting my horn. He didn't do that. What did he do? Verse 19. Tell me what it says. Go ye. Put your name right there. Go you. Go me. Go they. Go. Why? Why am I going to go? Because I gave you all power. It's been given unto me. I've given you the might and I've given you the right. See, for so long we have allowed preachers to stand up behind the pulpit and become Hollywood superstars, and everybody wants to come in and watch them, and everybody wants to come in and hear what they do and all these different things, and all the testimonies you ever hear is me, 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 me. I. Come on now. It's time that stuff died in the church. And we start hearing about the body of Christ and what the body of Christ is doing, hearing about the salvations that you guys are reaching and bringing to the kingdom. Amen? I know this is hard because now it means you got to be accountable for something. Come on now. Work and accountability are the two biggest cuss words the church will ever say. Don't make me work and don't make me accountable, preacher, but I'm reading you the gospel. Listen to what he says. Go ye therefore. Where are you going to go? And you're going to teach all the nations. Teach all the nations. See, people say, well, I can't go because I'm not called. You got to go, preacher. This is for you. You got to have slick hair and shiny shoes. You got to have that real deep preacher's voice. Amen. You know, you got to hack. You got to be able to do all that. Some of you hackers know what I'm talking about. You've been in the hacking church. You got to be able to do. Carla about hacking out now. You all right, sister? I should warn you, this could be detrimental to your health coming into Ignited. But how many of y'all know what I'm talking? It's not the guy that's up there shining, the girl that's shining, and all those things, and got, you know, all the medals and all the rewards and all the trophies and the stupidity that goes with that. This is for you. You, I'm looking at all your eyeballs. There's a lot of eyeballs looking at me tonight. I'm looking at all you. Elder, don't look down. Look at me. She's looking now like I'm reading my Bible, being spiritual. But you, everybody, I ain't going to let her get away with nothing. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. Now, let me read this to you. Here's the definite, or here's the spelling of the word. M-A, this is for teach. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Matheteo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Matheteo. Okay, that's going to be 3,100 if you go back and study it. Check this out. Check this out. When you begin to break this down as it's supposed to be read in the church, it brings you to a whole nother revolution and revelation of your ministry and life for God. Watch this. You got it written down? It means to make Christian nations of all nations. Jesus said, I have all power, I have all might, all right to send you to make all nations Christians, or all Christian nations. Jesus was looking for world domination. He wanted the whole world to be born again. You and I don't have a choice when it comes to world missions and evangelism. We don't have a choice on color. Let me help you, somebody. We don't have a choice on color. We don't have a choice on culture. We don't have a choice on creed. We don't have a choice on nationality or ethnicity. We have no choice but to preach the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ to every single living human being, whether their eyes are round or whether they're slanted or whether they're tall or whether they're short or whether they're black, pink, or they're white. It makes no difference. We must preach this truth to them. I tell you all the time that the most segregated place in the world is a Sunday morning service, because we're more interested on who you are than where you are. And that's going to end. It has never been a part of this church. I love the rainbow. I got to have color. I don't care if you're lily white or you ashen brown or whatever you may be. We got to have color in this rainbow. Amen. That's the sign of a true church. I don't know how people hang with their own cultures. I mean, seriously, I got to have some Latinos. Que pasa, man, with some mucho bueno comida, you know, ropa vieja. We got to have some life, some variety. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have dinner on the ground, when you got a multicultural church, you talk about awesome meals, man. You be eating stuff you can't pronounce. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. Amen. And that's the way I like it. That's the way I like it. All right, so check this out. To make Christians of all nations, to make disciples. This is the definition. To make disciples, not church members. Disciples. We don't have church membership in this church. I never came to one of you all and said, sign on the dotted line, raise your right hand, put your thumb in the ink, and say, yabba dabba dooba. You know what Flintstone said or something? Something like that. I never asked for it. I never will, because I believe in partnership. I believe in the family of God. I believe that you love one another and you just want to hang out. You don't have to sign up for a membership card like you're at Sam's. You ain't at Sam's. You're at God's. You're at God's house. Amen. And I want it to be free. And I want it to be. I've made my vows. My family's made our vows to you. We love you. We're married to you. We're married to this church. We ain't going anywhere. I don't expect you to go anywhere. I ain't going to cheat on you. Don't you cheat on me. Be where you're supposed to be when the door's open. Amen. I'll be right here. I'll come home. The cats don't got to drag me in. I'll be home. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Churches, they're so insecure. They got to have a covenant. You got to sign this card right here. Because they're insecure in who they are. If you love one another, if you really, it's called koinonia. It's a spiritual relationship. That's what the church is supposed to be. From breast to breast, heart to heart, life to life. You just love each other and you want to hang out with each other. Religion makes you hang out with each other. Religion condemns you. Relationship says, man, hey, I love you. I don't know where you've been, but I love you, and I missed you, but come on, let's fellowship. Man, I don't know. That's the kind of church I'm building. That's the kind of church we're building together, ain't it? I've tried all the other stuff. I don't like it. Look, don't try to put splendor where sugar belongs. Don't try to fool me. Oh, I made a special cake for us. I know the difference between splendor. Now, ladies, don't get mad. If you use your stuff, I love it. Sue's looking back at me. Sue, I'm not talking to you. I mean, those eyes were like laser. I saw all of my desserts go. But, hey, I'm going to tell you, there are some desserts. I'm going to get people writing me letters. I understand you can make some good desserts with Splenda, and I got it. Well, let's put it this way. Don't put in sweet and low. Stuff is nasty. Anyways. But come on, a lot of churches like sweet and low, man. You know what I mean? It's all fake. But we want the real thing. So he said, teach all nations. Make them all Christian nations. But listen, when you go study this, and I want you to go study this, you need to go to a lexicon and really study out this word, because there's more Old Testament understanding. There's two words here. There's an Old Testament word that I just gave you and a New Testament word. But the understanding that the theologians put in there is this. The word there means not only to make disciples, but it also means to attach to the teacher and the teachings. Look it up. To attach to the teacher and the teachings. To be a disciple in one form is to just hear the teachings and say, okay, well, I'm learning or whatever. But the root of this word, when Jesus said to teach all the nations, is to the point that where they become so attracted and attached to you that the teaching that you give them becomes commonplace in their life. That's a real disciple. Whenever they're attached to you and what you teach becomes commonplace in their lives. In other words, they practice what you teach them and they practice what you preach. Amen, somebody. Somebody says, well, I'm one of your disciples. I'm one of your spiritual sons. Only way I can know that is you be attached to what's going on. Only way I can ever know that is you apply what you've learned. And greater than that, the only way we know we're following Christ the right way, we're so attached to him and so attached to his teaching that it becomes commonplace in our life. It's just becoming what? In the image of Christ. Do you see that? Church is not this difficult, but when you have religion mixed in there and stupidity and flamboyancy and all these different things that go on with personality-driven ministries, you have a diluted understanding of relationships. You can't connect with people properly because you've been so messed up by this fake church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get into this right here, man, it becomes freedom. It becomes just a flow in your life, and it's easy to love folk. All right, so check this out. So Jesus says, I have the might and the right. I'm sending you to go do what I did with you. Remember, he called them to the mountain and appointed them and commanded them to come together. He didn't have to wait on them. They showed up. And when they showed up, he commissioned them not with just words, but with power. Everybody say power. And he says, okay, now I want you to go out and do the same thing I did with you guys. Do you know that the disciples hung with Jesus constantly? They always wanted to hang out with him. They always wanted to see the miracles. They always wanted to see the signs and wonders. They wanted to hear the newest thing Jesus had to say. They were attached to him. Isn't that powerful? If the church would ever become attached to Jesus Christ, man, there's nothing we couldn't do. I don't mean just head knowledge of Christ. I mean attached in a body, attached in a church, attached in a kingdom mindset to where we say, man, there's nothing impossible that we can do anything together through the Word of God. That's what Jesus was trying to do through the Great Commission. He said, hey, guys, come here. I want you to go do what I just did, the model of the 12, the model of the discipleship, the model of the apostles. I want you to take that and take that model and make every nation of the world Christian. See, we ought to not just be dropping bombs. We ought to be dropping bombs if we have to, but we ought to be dropping a boatload of Bibles. We ought to be sending missionaries. We ought to be sending Christianity over these places. That's how we change nations. We don't change it with bombs and bullets alone. I believe in a strong military, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, but you understand my point. We ought to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch. Teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Teaching. Teaching. What am I doing? Teaching. It's also preaching. Teaching and preaching, proclaiming them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. Look, he said, I want you to go do what I did. I want you to go ahead and reproduce what I said. Not another gospel. Not somebody's opinion and ideal, not somebody's philosophy or mindset, not even the scholarly opinions of somebody who wrote a commentary in the Bible. I want you to preach, teach, and show men around the world to do exactly what I did in my word. Including lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, cast out the devil, raise the dead. Instead of being so afraid. There's churches that won't even pray for demon-possessed people. Did you know that? There's people that won't even pray for the sick. There's people that won't even pray for those who need salvation. Sad condition the church is in. But guess what? That's why they don't operate in the right and the might. We operate in right and might in this church because we preach the Great Commission. We reach the nations of the world, and we want to see all men discipled and come to the name of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I might be with you. No? Oh, let me check my Bible. I better see that. Wait. Oh, there it is. And lo, I am with you sometimes. Whoa, always, until the end. Now, who did he say he's with? Everybody that pre-qualified on what he just said. You see, we got to pre-qualify. We got to understand we have the might and the right. We got to go. We've got to teach. We've got to bring the gospel and make it so attractive and so anointed and so wonderful that people just become attached to the kingdom and attached to Jesus Christ. It's not so much being attached to a church or to a person, to a preacher. It's being attached to Jesus Christ. We just happen to be the vehicle that we want them to jump inside. Hopefully you ain't got a bunch of stains on the seat and chicken grease and old fries and... Watch out now. Some of y'all can start your own fast food franchise with what you got in the back seat. Oh, here he goes again, always messing. I love it. I love it because we got our Tahoe. I said, ne'er a fry ever ride in the back of this car. Ne'er one fry. You slip and break your neck, you go in the back of my Tahoe. I'm just messing with y'all. Teaching, man, teaching, preaching, reaching, telling people, showing them the gospel. Jesus said, when you begin to do what I told you to do, then you're going to have what I gave to my disciples. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the right, and I'm going to give you the might to go out and do this thing. Go to Mark chapter 16. I got a couple more scriptures. Some of y'all offended about your chicken grease. You'll be all right. Go get some of that awesome from the Dollar Tree. That stuff, take it all out. Somebody said, why? Because it's awesome. It's awesome. So he said, go to all the nations. Is that right? Teaching them. Nations is ethnos. All nations, all tribes, all tongues, all colors, all creeds, culture. Okay? We're to go to the nations. Mark chapter 16. Just want to read it a second way. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye. There it is again. What are you still here? Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to people who look just like you. No, go preach only to those who are white. No, come on now. Let's get this right. To everybody that looks like you, smells like you, walks like you, talks like you. No, to every creature, every human being, every person, all creation. Exactly right. So again, we don't have a choice, do we? They're lost. And you'll be surprised how many people are prejudiced and racist in the church because of ethnicity, because of culture, because of color, because of social standing. There are some churches that if you don't have a certain amount of money, you ain't going to get too far up in the front row. You surely ain't going to get on staff. You got to be in the donor 600 circle or donor 200 or whatever they got. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been in churches like that. Let me tell you something. We got to get rid of that in the church. That's the Laodicean church right there. That's not the real New Testament church. The real New Testament church says, you know what, I love you. I don't care what you look like, man. You just lost going to hell without Jesus. You need to get saved. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs. Listen, if you don't have these signs following you, you haven't gone anywhere. I'm just going to be a little honest, if that's okay. If your church... You listen to me tonight, you go to a church, and you don't see signs following, they ain't gone nowhere. You ain't gone anywhere in your life and in the kingdom and ministry if you don't start seeing these things. Watch what it says. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up service in any deadly thing that shall not harm them. In other words, you're going to have supernatural power of might and right in your life as you go. Now, please, I'm going to break it down to this understanding. We're not talking about everybody under the sound of my voice getting on an airplane, packing your pajamas, and headed off to Africa. That's Africa for some of y'all, Tocoa. Africa, and not Africa, but Africa. Or wherever you think you're supposed to. Because everybody, first thing everybody thinks God's going to do is send them to the dark continent of Africa. How many of y'all had fear when you first got saved? They're going to call me to Africa. No, there's other places like the Cayman Islands and other places. You're probably not going to go to the Cayman Islands, but if you are, praise God, send me with you. At least every December, January, and February. But we think that he's going to send us. No, go ye means you go into the world just as you are with the equipment, with the anointing and the unction and the message that God has given you. You go to your workplace. You go to your family member. You go to those around you and you make disciples. You make it to the point that they're so attracted to you and to the word and to Jesus Christ that they want to follow him while following you. What did Paul say? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was a vehicle. Jesus was the engine of it all. But Paul said, follow me, man. I'm walking this thing out, and I'm making disciples to the nations of the earth. You see, it isn't about going over to some foreign country. How many of y'all know we have so much different diversities in America, you can just walk down the street and find three or four different cultures, even in Livonia. Even in this little town, and if you want to try it out, go to Atlanta. I promise you, you're going to find the world. You're going to think you just landed in Belgium or something. Some type of world center of people. Amen. So watch this. He said, I want you to go to the whole world. I want you to do these things. The world is society. Write that down. The world is society. My society. Some of you listening right now here and Ignited and listening to me on these other platforms, you will go to the nations of the earth, and you've already gone there. Some of you will go to foreign countries. Some of y'all will come with us in this ministry over the time we have left before Jesus comes. We're going to go to the nations. Some of you have already been with me. Some have gone on your own missions. But we're going to reach the world. But that's not what I'm talking about necessarily. We're talking about going into your family, that world, going into your job place. Let me tell you something. You want to go to a foreign country? Go to any Walmart. Any Walmart, you have entered into a third world country. You're supposed to laugh about that, but that's the truth, isn't it? At one of the greatest mission fields. I've told you, there's going to be the greatest revival on aisle 9 in a Walmart somewhere. I just believe that. But seriously, anywhere you go. Now, look at 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to give you a few more. Can you give me about 10 after? Is that okay? 9? You shouldn't say yes before you heard the rest of the offer there, brother. First, I know you do. And you would stay to 9, though. I know you would. All y'all would. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Check this out, especially if the doors were locked. Wes says, I'll get out that door, buddy. Check this out. Just give me a few more minutes. We're out of here. 1 Corinthians 9. And I'll touch on this probably at another time. Verse 19. And what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I should abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I, what does that say right there? Free. I'm in verse 19. Where are you at? Y'all ain't in 1 Corinthians? Verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 19. Chapter 9, verse 19. Okay. Though I am free. What's wrong with y'all? Well, though I am free from all men, I'm just testing y'all out. Y'all sleeping. Yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Watch what he says. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Check this out. Paul says, I'll do whatever it takes to win men to Christ. I will become all things to all men that by all means I might win some. Save some. The word save there in the Greek is sozo. Sozo. It means to rescue. It means to rescue. Please understand this. You are on a rescue mission for your family. You're on a rescue mission for those at your job. You're on a rescue mission to where you have ministry at. You are on a rescue mission. Paul didn't say, I sin to win a sinner. He says, I just become all things. I try to understand them. I don't condemn them at every point because you don't agree with what I agree with. So many times we lose the harvest of a soul because we try to debate theology and religion with them instead of going to the heart of the matter, which is their soul. And say, where are you? What is the condition? And lead them into salvation instead of trying to argue with them. So I want you to write this down. The church is on a rescue mission. That's why Ignited Church exists. We exist to be on a rescue mission. And the best days for our ministry are right before us. You will see the multiplied thousands that we will rescue over the coming period of time. And already the great things God has done, because we're about rescuing people. Remember this, we are on a rescue mission, we are on a rescue ship, and we're not on a cruise liner. This isn't a cruise ship. This is a battleship, amen, to bring people to Christ. Now, let me give you these last few thoughts, and then I want to give you a quick testimony to leave you with. And hopefully to stir your spirit up. The world will never be won to Jesus Christ and converted in a church. Let me try that again. The world will never be born again. It'll never be converted to Christ in a church building. Never. Number one, the buildings aren't big enough. Number two, we ain't got enough money to hit every television station, every radio station, every one church can't do it. So the world will not be won by a church building. Okay? The other thing I want you to think about tonight as you go home and over the weekend, Jesus' greatest ministry when he started out was not in a synagogue. He was the master of personal witnessing. Think about it. Did he do mass crusades? Absolutely. Did he go out into the fields? He broke bread. He did all those things. But he was the master of one-on-one fishing. The greatest evangelism you will ever do is one-on-one. No matter how big of a tent we'll buy in the future, no matter how far we go with media, it will never compare to what you and I can do if we did one-on-one evangelism. Never can compare. I appreciate the great ministry of Billy Graham, Dwight L. Moody, who personally prayed for over 750,000 people personally at altars through his crusades, and Reinhard Bonnke, who seen multiplied millions born again in a day. That cannot compare to evangelism one-on-one, fishers of men. Because there's a great difference between witnessing somebody about Christ and then that seed falling upon stony ground, then discipling them, having an attachment, and bringing them to a greater fruit in Christ, which brings in a greater harvest. I know this is a little contrary to a lot of teaching and preaching today because we're such a flash microwave generation. We pop popcorn. We want ministry to pop open, and we want all this stuff to happen right now. And I believe in mass evangelism. I've participated in massive evangelism, but I believe the greatest is you right there. Everybody, I'm pointing my finger at you. Are the greatest evangelist in the room, not the guy behind the microphone. He has his position. She has her position, but you have a great position as well. Check this out. This is a floor you, and then I'm going to give you the testimony or something that was relayed to me. Think about this. I said Jesus was the greatest one-on-one minister. Is that right? The greatest scripture of all scriptures in the Bible when it comes to salvation is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that powerful? That's the bedrock of our Christianity. That's the bedrock of the sinner's prayer. That's the bedrock of bringing people to Christ Jesus. How many of y'all were saved under John 3:16? About everybody in the room and listening to the sound of my voice. But did you know something? Jesus did not preach John 3:16 to a crusade. He preached it to one man, Nicodemus, one-on-one. The greatest evangelistic scripture recorded in the Bible, in my opinion, was not preached to the masses on the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't preached to the masses in Jerusalem. It was Jesus with a council member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee named Nicodemus. One-on-one, Nicodemus said, "What do I got to do to be born again?" And Jesus gave him the description of salvation. And then that golden text, John 3:16, was given one-to-one witnessing. That is a thing to think about tonight when you go to bed. Finally, on Sunday, I was preaching a message about the Church of Absalom, and I was speaking how that people were dying. You remember I was preaching and snapping my fingers by seconds, by moments, by milliseconds. I got a text from somebody who told me how that some of the things I had said in the past about this being your only days really impacted them and really, really impacted them even greater after hearing that service. Because a few hours before Super Bowl Sunday, this person's cousin, who was 45 years old, went to sleep and never woke up and died and went into eternity, leaving behind a 13-year-old daughter. And the family has no idea whether they were saved or not. One-on-one evangelism. One-on-one evangelism. It's one thing to send CDs, tell people websites, but it's a whole other thing if you pick up the phone and you call that person who doesn't know Jesus. What do you have to lose right now? If you were to get on the phone tonight and call somebody who don't know Christ, what would it cost you? A little bit of your time? A little bit of an embarrassment if they reject you? So what? Don't you think a call would have, might have made the difference to this person? We don't know. We don't know how many times an offer was made to this person and the multiplied millions of others who go into eternity. But we're not the people responsible for the results. We're responsible to sow the seed. Let me encourage you tonight. Think about it. If you can't do it tonight, do it tomorrow. Do it before too long and tell that person about Jesus Christ. Amen? You are the evangelist that has the might and the right. Heavenly Father, I delivered your word today. I pray that we would respond according to this word. Jesus, you said it. You appointed all of us. You gave us a great commission with a great commandment. Go. I pray that we would, Father. I pray that Ignited Church, we would be known not for preaching. We don't want to be known for this or for that. We don't want to even be known for the prophetic. We want to be known as rescuers. We want to be known as a church of missions. Because a church without supporting missions has no mission at all. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen.